Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp with harmonious sounds. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. Let's pray. Most gracious God and Father, we come before you this morning and praise your holy name. I pray this morning, Father, as we look into this connection in your scripture, in the word that you have given to us, the connection between song and thanksgiving, praise and worship. I pray, Father, that we would have a deeper understanding this morning of the importance of song, of music in our thanksgiving and in our praise. I ask, Father, you would empower me to deliver your word as it should be. I also pray that you would open our ears, Father, to embrace that which you call us to worship you with. Father, we praise you this morning and thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So here we are speaking again this month about Thanksgiving as we are on the precipice of our celebration this week, this Thursday. As a nation, we give thanks. And although for many in this country, it is just another excuse to get off of work and gather together and to fill our bellies and what have you. But for those who call upon the name of the Lord, to have a day set aside for Thanksgiving is regardless of the nation we live in. It doesn't matter where we live. Although there is a sense that it is very proper for us to be very thankful for the country we do live in. Though we see all of its problems and we see where it's heading, yet God has given us such freedom to worship. And maybe that's not always for the best, but it is something to be thankful for. That we have been able to freely preach the word of God and to worship freely in this country, free of the government sending troops in to take us away. The prayer that Joseph spoke of in this morning, speaking of missionaries. We know that in many countries, missionaries have been put to death. They have been held captive, because they are not allowed to bring the name of Jesus to bear at all. So there is a properness for this week for us to come together as people of this country to give thanks for what God has given us in this country, the freedom to worship. But when we worship, when we give thanksgiving, it is a matter of worship. And that's what so many people don't get. They don't get the reality that thanksgiving is not just saying thank you. I do think that in this country, and probably around the world, that when someone says thank you, it's just being courteous. It's just something that's kind to say to somebody. Because the genuineness of thanksgiving is brought about by our knowledge of God. Is brought about by knowing who and what God has done. And we're going to see that this morning. And then we're going to see how there is an aspect to our thanksgiving that is to be celebrated, as we will do this week. And even today, as we are going to celebrate ourselves as a church, have a meal together in giving thanks to God. But we need to find that thanksgiving is a matter of praise. It is a matter of worship. And we find many passages that speak of singing, using instruments to worship God, to give thanks. Nehemiah, when the 70 years were up and he knew it was time to go back, and he got to go back to the land of Israel and to rebuild it. And Nehemiah was part of this rebuilding of the nation, of the wall around it. And in Nehemiah 12, we find that there's a dedication of the wall of Jerusalem that is about to take place. And this is what Nehemiah says. I'm going to be skipping through different verses because it's a very long road to get there. And there's a lot of names that I don't even want to pretend I can pronounce. Starting in verse 27 of Nehemiah 12, it says, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem." So we're going to stop there for a minute because I want us to think about what's being said here. Nehemiah has come and called all the Levites together. He says, the wall is complete. Our God has allowed us to put the wall back up, to hang the gates. And it's time for a celebration, a dedication. And he says that they are going to dedicate this wall with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, string instruments, and harps. It's an orchestra that's about to play. And then he says he's gathering all the sons of singers. That is an interesting word, interesting to think that there were those that were actually singers. They were part of the Levites, and they were called together to sing. They were the choir, if you will. And it was part of their worship. It was part of doing what God instructed them to do. You know, one of the struggles we've had in this church with getting people to stay is we don't play modern day music so much. Now, I don't have a problem with modern day music if it is the music the Word of God tells us we should be singing. But we tend to stick to those songs, those hymns, those psalms that are relevant to the praise of God, to give Him thanks, to show His glory and His greatness. And that's what's happening here. They are drawing all of these people together. And then in verse 31, Nehemiah says, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs." Listen to what's happening here. There's a significance to this. Thanksgiving choirs. You see, every time we have thanksgiving, it is prayer. Don't get that wrong. It's easy to think that thanksgiving is, again, just something we say, just something we know we're supposed to do. But thanksgiving is a deeper reality. And the one thing we know about singing, people who write songs, people who are in love with music, it comes from within. It's something that's bubbling up. And I'm sure every one of you in this room have experienced songs of praise, especially when you're by yourself. You can find yourself being lost in worship songs, singing hymns when no one's around, which is better for most people when I'm doing that because, you know, I don't want anyone to speak evil of that which is good. Okay. But you know what I mean. Music is powerful. It reaches deep into the soul. And that's one of the reasons I think God has it this way. And this dedication, this celebration. And so he brought the leaders together and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. Thanksgiving choirs. They are praising God. And the significance of all this, their praise, their gladness is being done through thanksgiving with melodious music. And they're not singing a cappella. There are cymbals. That may be hard for some of us to think, but think about a cymbal. What does a cymbal do? It clashes. It's not what a lot of us may think about when we think about celebrating our thanksgiving towards God. There's churches around that despise any kind of percussion instrument, and yet they still have a piano in a church. So I'm not quite sure how that is, because it's actually, you can ask my daughter, she'll tell you it's a percussion instrument. And so, there's nothing wrong with percussion instruments. There's nothing wrong with stringed instruments, harps. And we'll see other things as we look through some other psalms in a minute. But the point that I think we're getting across here is that the dedication of the wall that God had allowed them to reconstruct is being done with thanksgiving. As he had two large groups and he sent one to the right and the other went the opposite way. And then in verse 40 it says, so the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. When we give thanks, do we think about it in that, for lack of a better way, that emotional sense that we can get when we are singing and really thinking through what we're singing? And I know that seems to be easier for us to do when we're all alone, you know. You know, we can raise our voices up. You know, how many times have you been in your car and somebody else gets in it later and you turn the car on, the radio is up so loud. I'm like, what have you guys been doing? Because when you're alone, you tend to turn it up a little bit louder. And depending upon what you're listening to, you know, you're singing along. And so when you're singing worship songs, they have at its root a sense of thanksgiving. Because there's no way to worship God and not be thankful. And so this is just an illustration here of what they did after they had completed the wall and dedicated it through thanksgiving, through gladness, singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. I mean, can you imagine what this must have looked like? You think about, they were along the wall. I'm thinking they covered the wall and they were in the house of God. This was a massive choir. And they're singing praises of thanksgiving to God. So when we look at our text this morning and begin to consider what is being said by the psalmist here, and it's interesting, as a matter of fact, you probably, if you look in your Bibles right now, it says a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. I found that interesting as its introduction to this psalm. This is scripture, okay? So this wasn't something that was added to the psalm. This is actually part of the first verse in the sense that it's describing the psalm. And so this is the Word of God describing what this psalm is all about. And it's interesting because this is the first place where it actually describes the psalm as a song. So it's making this distinction, this aspect of it. And he says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute, on a harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. Now listen to why are we giving thanks here? And he's giving thanks with music. Music. Song. Praising God and bringing thanks. I mean, we sang some songs this morning that was about being thankful to God. And we should be singing those. I mean, if we think about how loud and how massive that sound must have been at the dedication of the wall in Jerusalem. We are to raise our voices. We are to sing with great thanks and reverence in our heart for God. And so, think about this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. I want to point something out here. I was talking to someone the other day about what is good. If we want to know what is good, God tells you what is good. It says here, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name. It is good for us to do this. It's good for us to do it alone, and it is extremely good for us to do it together. We'll see that a little bit later. But the point is that we need to realize how good this is for us. Even in the past couple sermons, I've talked somewhat about this. Even last week when we were talking about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that our thanksgiving needs to override how we feel about things. Even how we feel about somebody, because the Word tells us we're to be thankful for our brothers and sisters. We're to be thankful in all things, which means we have to sacrifice our egos. We have to sacrifice our pride. We have to sacrifice our vengeance. We have to sacrifice all of those things to be thankful. Because that's not what makes us thankful. It's knowing that God has done all things for us. And no matter what happens in this world, it's temporary. How many people actually think that way? The temporary aspect of life. We may think about that in, you know, when I have to go do scans and stuff like that, they're not the most comfortable things in the world. But I know it's temporary. You know, I'm about to do my next infusion and I'll be in isolation. But I know it's only temporary. So it's easy to get to when I know it's going to be over. Now, that's easy because it's really a short matter of time. But can you think about that in life? But the time we spend in this world is extremely temporary when compared to eternity. It's a fleeting moment, even as the Scripture speaks of it. We're like the flowers that bloom in the field and tomorrow they're gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. Everything's temporary about these lives. And so if we're focusing everything on this life alone, we won't be thankful. Because quite frankly, when we look at the world around us and we think about all our situations that come and go, those don't always feel fun to be thankful for. But we know that all things work together for the good of those who are called, who love God, who are called to be transformed in the likeness of the Son. We know that those things are all good for us. Because God is working. And so we are to declare in our thanksgiving. Because he's describing to us why we're thankful. And we're doing it in song. We're singing. Declaring his loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So here we see this aspect that even as individuals, we get up in the morning. Are we praising God? Are we thanking God for the morning? Are we declaring his loving kindness? And as we go to bed at night, are we focusing on his faithfulness? Because when we do that, then we have nothing but thankfulness rising up. Has anyone ever been alone? Because this, like, I know this is when things happen, at least for me. I'll be driving in the car sometime and just, there's no radio on, nothing. And I make up a song. And it's really amazing when you make up a song that you can never sing again because you forget it. But you can sing a song of thanksgiving, a song of praise. And it changes your demeanor. It changes the way you see things. When I listen to a lot more worship, praise music, things that really speak of God, not the me generation. When I really do that, it does change the demeanor that you live in. Because when I don't spend a lot more time, then I notice my demeanor is not quite the same. So there's something about the idea of worshiping and praising God, giving thanks to Him in song, raising our voices to the Lord. And we need to think about this more. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a quite beautiful thing. There's been some conferences that I've been to and things like that where you have, 300 men and they're singing a cappella. Or you have a mixed audience with men and women singing a cappella. And it's beautiful. So it's not that we don't do that, but you're going to be doing these things. I mean, think about what he says here. Declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings. This is all part of one sentence. So he's literally saying, declare the loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp. With harmonious sound. Now, that's where I struggle. Okay, I mean, But to God, it is. But listen to what he's saying. Even in our private time, to sing to the Lord is a beautiful thing. It is good for us to do that. I'm bringing this up because I don't think we connect this too much. I know this is a little different for a Thanksgiving sermon, but the reality is it is part of our Thanksgiving. It is something we really need to start thinking about more. Because it relates to who we are in Christ. And then, listen to what he says in verse 4 and 5. You, Lord, have made me glad. This goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Our thanksgiving is not about how my spouse, my friends, the congregation, my government, my hobbies, my bank account make me glad. That's not what this is about. In light of all of those things, when they are not doing and going the way you hope they go, it is the Lord who will make you glad. Through your work, I will triumph in the works of your hand. You see, our tendency is always to look at our problems, to look at our situations. But here he says, you have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. We always tend to think that we're going to be the ones who triumph. In Revelations it says, That all who overcome the world is written in the book of life. Fear not, for Christ has already overcome the world. You see, the point is it's what Christ's work did that overcomes the world for me. It's not my ability to stand square up and say, I can do this. Christ did it. That's the point. It's His work that makes me glad. Have you ever taken the time just to meditate? To meditate and think of nothing else other than the fact that Christ died for you, that you will never die. That He bore your sin, that you will never have the wrath of God against you for your sin. Just meditate on that for a while. And if you are not moved, if you are not found, if you don't find yourself giving thanks, then maybe you need to come sit down and have a talk with me because there may be another issue here. As believers, when you begin to ponder that truth, that it is that you will triumph in the works of His hands, all your failures, all your weaknesses, all of your sorrows, everything goes away because your mind begins to think about something that's eternal instead of temporary, something divine instead of earthly, something that is absolutely eternal. And glory stands in front of us. To consider the fact that I will stand before Christ, before the Father one day, in the glory of Christ. I will be in His presence, reflecting His glory. And when the Father sees me, He sees His Son, not my sin. I do not see any way possible that when we come before God in His presence on that day, that there be one person who is not laying on their face before God in thanksgiving and praise. I do not believe any of us will be able to stand on our feet when we recognize what we have truly received in His presence. And we will begin to sing with the angels. Holy, holy, holy is the God Most High. We will begin to sing with the angels, praising God day and night, if there were day and night in heaven. It'll be continuous praise and worship of God. Because everything that we are looking to will be so vibrant that the work of His hands will be shown in its final crescendo. And we'll do nothing but worship. And it'll be the greatest time of our lives. And everything that we've been through, everything past will be forgotten. We won't ponder on any of it because there's something greater. You see, and that's what brings thanksgiving, is when we realize that His works are great and His thoughts are very deep. See, it's when we start thinking of Christ. And that's when we begin to open up our mouths. I do fear for the way we are, as well as other churches, when we come together to sing and we're just, I feel like sometimes we just go through, well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this different, hopefully to get people together and really let's raise our voices to God. I feel like sometimes in churches today we've become more ritualistic than worshiping. And we need to consider that. Because it's not even a matter of saying, okay, let's come up front and we're all going to come together and sing. Because it's really a matter of everybody's heart. It's a matter of understanding that what we're doing now is praising God. I want to look at a few other Psalms just briefly. And then get into a New Testament passage that I think will be extremely important for us to understand in light of singing with thanksgiving. In Psalm 30, this is at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol You, O Lord, for You have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to You and You healed me. O Lord, You brought my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. It's sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His. There's a command here that we as His saints are to be singing praises to God and to be giving thanks, listen, at the remembrance of His holy name. If we could take a moment and just kind of take this apart, because first of all, who is this speaking of to begin with? Even though there was a reality in David's life when he wrote this psalm of what was taking place here, we also know it's prophesying Christ. Oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. David, I can tell you now, is in the grave. Christ has risen. And now we are to sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. That we can even maybe take as a reference to the Lord's table, as it is a remembrance, a celebration of His death, burial, and resurrection. It is to magnify His death, to proclaim it, and we give thanks. Even as Christ did when He initiated the Lord's table. He gave thanks before He took each element. See, it's at the remembrance of His holy name. I mean, it's really kind of amazing how we struggle, right? When we think about this, meditate on it for a minute, think, at the remembrance of His holy name. How many times do we stay bound up in something, or bound up in sadness, bound up in depression, bound up in all this, and the whole time we're thinking of God? According to this, at the remembrance of His holy name, it should bring about praise and thanksgiving. See, it goes back to Psalm 40. Is that what it is? Where He says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" The psalmist gets it right. Why so downcast, O my soul? I will put my hope in God. He realizes, I am downcast. No, I'm going to remember His holy name, and I will sing praises to the Lord. I will give Him thanks. You see, when we think about it, we need to turn at just the remembrance of His holy name. As we cry out to Him, we can see it in the psalm. Remember, the psalms, I call them experiential theology, because the psalms are written through the experience of the psalm writers. They are displaying their emotions, their feelings, the reality of their relationship with God. And what we find in the psalms is this. We find that the psalmist, whoever it is that's writing the psalm, they cry out to God. Many of them are crying out to God for deliverance. Why do they always end? They almost always end in praise and thanksgiving. Even though they're crying out, nothing's been changed yet. But because they're crying out to God, they say, I will praise your holy name. I will put my hope in you. And if we do, if we're putting our hope in the one we know, then how can we not have thanksgiving? Because His works are always good. And He's guaranteed for you eternity. Our weak minds, our feeble minds, keep us focused on the temporary. Now, we have to deal with the temporary because we live in it. But to be focused on that is what controls the way we think. It controls our worship. It controls the way we see God. Then we miss the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news that you don't have to do anything. Christ did it. You see, that's the good news. I can't work my way into heaven. And therefore, I know through all my struggles, through all my pain, through all my trials, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And if that does not make us praise God, does not make lift our voices up, then we need to be working on getting our minds in the right places, renewing the mind, knowing God, so that in all ways we give thanks. That we sing to Him as individuals. That we sing to Him as together. In Psalm 69:30, He says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. I love that statement. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. Magnifying God with our thanksgiving. I've used this type of analogy before. Especially when you have young kids. They get so excited when they get a gift. And they get so excited with their parents because they gave it to them. And they begin to hug and kiss. And they're really magnifying the gift giver over the gift. And that's how we should be training our kids, by the way. Training them to magnify the gift giver and not the gift. And that's the point, is we've got to magnify the one who's given us everything. And we do it by thanking Him. I mean, what happens if I'm in a car wreck? I need to magnify God at Thanksgiving, not because of the car wreck. Because God has saved me, no matter what happens to me. Though I die, yet I shall live. The grave no longer has hold on me. Where, O death, is your sting? It's gone. It's been taken away. There's nothing of this temporary world that should take our thanksgiving away from God. Because it is at His name we give thanks. I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And in Psalm 95, He says, oh, come. I mean, when I see this kind of language in things, I see this sense of urgency. I see this sense of earnestness. Oh, come. Oh, come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. No one is above God. And He tells us to shout. In our singing, when we sing in this, always sing in a docile way, I think there are different ways of singing to God. I think there are times when we should be singing very softly, very low, very, even monotone. But then I think there's ways, because of what the Scripture says, to shout with joy to the Lord in our songs. To raise our voices, to rattle the beams of the building, to raise our voices because of who God is. I mean, you think about that. Can you imagine? the walls of Jerusalem that Nehemiah overwatched to get built must have been built very well. Because when the choirs of thanksgiving stood upon them and surrounded them, they did not fall like the walls of Jericho. Because you can only imagine what that rattling must have been like when you had so many people singing and shouting and thanking God at the same time. It must have been terrifying to nations around them. And here we see it, that we have commands. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Shout joyfully. to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. So shouting with psalms would be loud singing, raising our voices to God in thanksgiving, in praise, in worship, in honor. The Lord is great, is the great God and the great King above all gods. The last passage I want to look at is a New Testament passage, so we can see this tie in together. Ephesians 5. We're going to start in verse 17. I'm starting with verse 17 because I want us to really think about what this is saying to us. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I want you to think about that statement all by itself for a moment. Just like I said earlier, if we want to know what is good, we need to look at the Word of God. It tells us what is good. It doesn't necessarily tell you what you like, because sometimes what it says is good is not exactly what I necessarily think I like at the moment. But that's why I subject myself to the Word of God and say, no, that's good. This idea is not good, even though I think that's what I want to do. This is good. And this is telling us, therefore do not be unwise. And to be unwise means you don't understand what the will of God is. So to understand what the will of God is to be wise. And then he goes on to say this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which dispensation, I can't even say the word today, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's think about this passage for just a second. The language is a little bit weird, actually. Because it says that we, as the saints of God, are to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what does this mean, speaking to one another? I think what we're seeing here is the aspect of the fact of the gathering of the church as we sing and worship God together in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But that also indicates something else, doesn't it? And that's also one of the reasons why I've wanted us to think more about how we come together to sing. We talked about being an audience of one, right? We have one in our audience. That's God, right? And that's a true statement. However, in this, it's telling us that there is an effect of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs on each other. Because it says that we are to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So when we're singing, we're also singing to each other as we raise our voices to God with thanksgiving in our hearts. You see, I think we miss this sometimes. I think the church is missing this at times. The unity is in our singing as well. To each other, as we all sing to God. We should be encouraging one another in our songs, because if we are considering each other as we are singing the same words about God, you are actually ministering one to another. Do we ever think like that? That's what this passage indicates. And so in our corporate worship, we are speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we are singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So to one another and to the Lord. At the same time, it's kind of like what I've said about the Ten Commandments. You have the two tables, as we call them. And you have the first half that tells us how to relate to God. You have the second half that tells us how to relate to each other. But you have this one right there in the middle. And it's about the Sabbath day. And that's how we bring both of those together. As we relate to one another at the same time we are relating to God. And we need to think that way about our singing. I feel like sometimes, and when I say we, I mean the church, not just us. But I think a lot of times that the worship time of singing, which I want to make clear that the whole time that we are in here is worship. We are worshiping right now as I declare God's word to you. This is a part of our worship. You are hearing God's word being brought to you. That is part of worship. But when we talk about the musical part, we need to realize we are ministering to one another. As we worship God together in song with thanksgiving for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we think about that when we sing? I mean, I really do think it's easy. And I know it's easy because even today, I can hear a song come on somewhere. I don't go anywhere hardly, but if I ever hear a song that comes on back from my high school days, and I love that song, and then I start singing with it, and I go, ooh, maybe I shouldn't like this song so much. It's speaking about things that God detests. And in my life, I've been celebrating that song, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, these words are bad. Do we think about that in the music we sing, in the music we embrace? Do we think about that most profoundly in the worship and the thanksgiving that we bring to God in our song? Are we truly taking those words and experiencing them together as we raise those voices to God in thanksgiving for who He is? That's what this is talking about. Our praise and our thanksgiving are to be shared as a function of the church, that we raise our voices in song as a matter of thanksgiving and praise to our great God and Savior. That is what we need to be considering. And that's why I said every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day we come together, every Sunday when we come together to worship God, it is a day of thanksgiving. Not just our national holiday that we all celebrate this Thursday. But I'm talking about the celebration. It should be in our hearts every day for our own salvation. But then we should have this shared celebration of thanksgiving before God every Lord's Day. Every time we come before Him to worship Him in word, in song, in prayer, in every aspect of it, thanksgiving should be there. I mean, have you ever thought about this? Right now, each one of you are sitting in these pews, and what you've been hearing this morning is God's word. Think about that. You're hearing the very utterance of God as God has arranged it to be proclaimed to His saints. Is that not enough? Think about when God spoke to the nation of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. And they said, no, Moses, you talk to them. We don't want anything to do with that. When they heard him rumble, when they heard His voice, they cowered. But you have been given the Spirit to hear the very word of God. Is that not worth celebrating? God has given His word that we will know Him and know the way of salvation. See, we can nitpick this to death and find all of these reasons because of the work of God to give Him thanks. All these reasons that should just well up in us to break out in song to before God. And we have the opportunity every Sunday. It's part of our worship. It's part of what we do every Sunday. And we need to be thinking about this more. That we are truly worshiping God and ministering to one another in our songs. Because we sing songs in this church that show reverence for God. That should be a thankful moment. So consider this from now on. That thanksgiving is also a matter of song. It's not just flippant words. Thanks. No, it's the magnification of His holy name. So, from here on out, let's think about that and give thanks to God in our song as we praise Him each and every time. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we do praise You and thank You for this day. We thank You, O Lord, for Your Word, and we thank You for this congregation. Father, we can look at everybody in this room right now, including myself. And myself more than anybody, because I know myself better than everybody else. And there's not one person in this room who deserves Your grace or mercy. If we look into ourselves, we realize that You should reject us. That You should despise us. And yet, Lord, You love us as You love Your own Son. Oh, Lord, let me be overwhelmed with thankfulness before You today. May our hearts be overtaken with the presence of Your Holy Spirit as we consider eternity set before us. Thank You, Father, for this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.